الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. What is hell? Attar's dua. O Lord of the Prophet, protect from the punishment of hell whosoever reads or listens to the 25-page booklet entitled What is Hell, and grant them and their parents entry into Jannatul Firdaus without accountability. Ameen bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The excellences of sending salat upon the Prophet, the final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, on the day of judgment there will be no shade besides the shade of Allah's arsh. Three people shall be in it. It was asked, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who will those people be? He replied, he who takes a worry away from a member of my ummah, he who revives my sunnah, and he who sends abundant salat upon me. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Are new fashions the only way to earn respect? Dear Islamic brothers, we need to reflect on the following. Is the world not considered the most important thing nowadays? Why do many Muslims not have due reverence for Islam anymore? Have we not stopped inviting to goodness and forbidding evil? Is swearing and abuse not prevalent in every conversation we have? Sadly, the way many of us live indicate we give priority to this world over the hereafter. We move further from Islamic law and the Sunnah day by day. This distance from the Sunnah and following of immoral fashion trends will ultimately lead this community to ruin. Love for the world is the root of all sins. Dear Islamic brothers, we must wake up before death arrives. All this chaos stems from love for this world, which is also pushing people away from the Sunnah even further. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا رَأْسُ كُلِّ خَطِيئَةٍ. A love for the world is the root of all sin. Even to attain the everlasting blessings of paradise, we are unable to leave even the smallest of our domestic luxuries to travel for a few days in the path of Allah and learn the Sunnah. Yet, when it comes to earning the fleeting wealth of this temporary world, we are ready to leave our families for years and travel thousands of miles away. The religious degradation of Muslims and disbelievers overpowering them, masjids being empty while cinemas and other places of entertainment are jam-packed, the incursion of European customs, the prevalence of immoral Western fashion, television and the internet airing shows in every home, sin everywhere you look, many Muslims with lowly characters and bad manners, are these not causing us to reflect? Are these not telling us to travel in Madani qafilas so we can try to reform ourselves and others? It appears impossible for us to travel in them for a year, 1 month out of a year, or 3 days in a month. If we all remain stuck in our excuses, who will call the people of this world to righteousness? Who shall look out for the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam? Who will guide naive Muslims toward the sunnah, who have instead taken on the ways of others? Who will encourage them to act upon, I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world, insha'Allah? Islamic brothers listening to this, are exhorted to travel in Madni qafilas for a year, 1 month in a year, or 3 days every month. Insha'Allah. Here is a story describing the immense blessings of this. How the hated became loved. An Islamic brother from Karachi, Pakistan, was once a lost person. Alongside being addicted to television, his nights were spent wandering with uncouth friends. Due to his misconduct, not only did his relatives avoid him, but even his own parents. They feared the moment he came home and would even advise others to avoid him. It reached a point where his father was ready to throw him out of the home entirely. His sinful habits were reformed when a preacher of Dawat-e-Islami lovingly invited him to a 2-day Sunnah-inspired gathering to be held in Quetta. He said he would attend if his father agreed. Filled with passion to spread the call to righteousness, the preacher was overjoyed to hear this, as the Islamic brother's father had great love for Dawat-e-Islami. When an opportunity arose, the preacher encouraged the father to allow his son to attend. He happily did so and even covered for some expenses, as he saw this being a means of his son mending his ways. The day eventually came and the Islamic brother attended the gathering. Being around those who love Allah's messenger, the sunnah-inspired speeches, echoes of dhikr and heartfelt du'as, his heart was moved like never before. He was invited to travel in a Madani qafila, which he readily accepted. Alhamdulillah, during this, he yet again found himself around those who love Allah's messenger. His heart was touched even further, causing him to repent from his sins, dress in accordance with the sunnah and apologize to his parents for infringing their rights. He even made intention to act upon the sunnahs of keeping a beard and wearing an imamah. Returning home, he cried in front of his father and asked for his bad behavior to be forgiven. He then began working to spread the sunnah. The same family members who were once revolted at the sight of him now welcomed him with open arms. Alhamdulillah. With the blessings of Dawat-e-Islami, he went from being the most hated to the most loved. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Calling one's family to righteousness. Dear Islamic brothers, the efforts of just one Islamic brother led to a universally despised individual becoming loved by all. If we collectively begin encouraging others to offer salah, attend sunnah-inspired gatherings, and travel in Madani qafilas, a positive change will occur right before our very eyes. Especially, we should focus on saving our families from sin and encouraging them to do good. The companion Zayd bin Aslam radiyallahu anhu narrates of how the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam once recited this verse. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Translation from Kanzul Iman: save yourselves and your families from the fire. The companions alayhim ridwan asked, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, how can we save our families from the fire? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam replied, order them to do that which pleases Allah and forbid them from what he is displeased with. An inspiring story of fearing Allah. Dear Islamic brothers, in this hadith, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam recited a part of At-Tahrim's 6th verse. Before discussing this Quranic verse in detail, let us mention an inspirational story regarding fear of Allah. The companion Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma describes what happened when Allah revealed this verse to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum naran waqudahan nasu wal hijara. Translation from Kanzul Iman. O you who believe, save yourselves and your families from the fire whose fuel is humans and stones. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam recited it before his companions, causing a youngster to fall unconscious. Placing his sacred hand upon the latter's chest, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam found his heart was still beating, upon which he declared, O young man, say La ilaha illallah. He did as such, to which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam issued him glad tidings of paradise. The companions asked, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and from any of us, what if any of us experience what the youngster did? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam responded, did you not hear these words of Allah? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامِي وَخَافَ وَعِيدِ. Translation from Kanzul Iman. This is for the one who fears standing in my court and fears my warning. How to save one's family from punishment. In Khazainul Irfan, Sayyid Naimuddin Muradabadi Rahmatullahi Alayhi comments on this verse. By obeying Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, carrying out acts of worship, avoiding sins, guiding family towards righteousness, whilst forbidding them from evil, and by teaching them knowledge and manners, they will be saved from being punished. Tell your family about good matters. The fourth caliph of Islam, Ali bin Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu, said, regarding the above mentioned verse, learn of goodness yourself, convey this to your family, and teach them virtuous conduct. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan's fatwa. The following is a simplified version of a fatwa found in Fatawa-e Razaviyya. Question: is it farz or wajib for parents to ordain their pubescent children to do good and refrain from evil? Answer: the legal ruling on parents rectifying them varies in accordance with the classification of the specific action. For example, it is farz when the action is farz. The same applies when the action is wajib, sunnah, or mustahab. Yet, this is conditioned with their ability and the amount of benefit this will lead to. Otherwise, the Quranic injunction is clear. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alaykum anfusakum. La yadurrukum man dhalla idha tadaytum. Translation from Kanzul Iman. Be vigilant concerning your lives. The misguided one will do you no harm when you are upon guidance. Describing hell. Dear Islamic brothers, we must give special attention to rectifying ourselves and our families. We must strive to save ourselves and them from the dark and terrifying fire of hell. By Allah, the fire of hell is most severe. Nobody will be capable of enduring it. This is a moment of reflection for those who fall short in offering their obligatory salah, keeping fast, giving zakat, and performing hajj. The same applies to those who harm their parents, those who do not raise their children according to Islamic law and the sunnah, those who stop their sons from growing a beard, shave their own beards, or cut it shorter than a fist length. Some deceptively sell substandard products to their customers, use threats to sell their items, steal, watch films and dramas on TV and the internet, listen to songs, facilitate this for others, and commit all types of sin. This is a time to pause to reflect. Be assured you will be unable to endure the dark fire of hell. The companion Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said, "The fire of hell was kindled for 1,000 years until it became red. It was then inflamed for 1,000 more years until it became white, and another 1,000 until it was rendered dark. As of now, it is extremely dark." Jibreel's terrifying story of hell. By Allah, the punishment of hell cannot be withstood by anybody. Imam Abu al-Qasim Sulaiman al-Tabrani rahmatullahi alayhi relates of how angel Jibreel alayhi salam once came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and said, "O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, I take oath by He who sent you as a true prophet. If hell were to be opened to the amount equaling the eye of a needle, all on earth would perish from its heat. If one piece of clothing of the people of hell were to be hung between the skies and the earth, all on earth would die. I take oath by He who sent you with the truth. If an angel appointed upon hell were to become visible, all on earth would die. I take oath by He who sent you as a true messenger. If one link from the chains of hell, which has been mentioned in the Quran, were to be placed upon a mountain of this world, it would become dust and fall down to tahta thara." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "O Jibreel, you have described enough. Stop, lest my heart bursts and I pass away." Upon inspection, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam saw the angel was crying. "O Jibreel," he asked, "why are you crying? You possess special rank with Allah." The angel replied, "O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, I cannot stop my tears, as I do not know if my current rank with Allah will remain the same. Perhaps I will be tested the way Iblis was, or trialed as Harut and Marut were." The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam also began to cry. As these two illustrious personalities shed tears, a voice exclaimed, "O Jibreel, O Muhammad, Allah has protected both of you from disobeying Him." Angel Jibreel then rose towards the heavens, whilst the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam came outside. He passed by some Ansari companions alayhim ridwan who were laughing and playing. He declared, "You laugh whilst hell is behind you. If you knew what I knew, you would laugh little and weep much. You would stop eating and head to the mountains, enduring great difficulty to perform worship." A voice was heard, "O Muhammad, do not let my slaves despair. I have sent you as a conveyor of glad tidings. You do not cause difficulties." The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam then said to his companions, "Stay on the upright path and take the middle way." Our hearts remain unmoved. Dear Islamic brothers, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is infallible, ay masoom, and the leader of the infallible. Angel Jibreel alayhi salam is infallible and the leader of the infallible angels. Despite this reality, they both cried out of fear of Allah when hell was mentioned. We, on the other hand, commit sin after sin, yet terrifying descriptions of hell cause us no effect. Its frightening punishment does not make us feel shame, concern, or remorse. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. Death in the solitude of the night. When our pious elders would hear mention of hell or Quranic verses describing it, they would fall unconscious or even pass away. Mansur bin Umama rahmatullahi alayhi explains how during his Hajj journey he stopped in an alleyway of Kufa. During the night he went to attend to a need when he heard somebody making this dua from a nearby house. O my Lord, by your might and honor, I did not intend to oppose you in my disobedience, and I was not unaware of you while sinning. Yet I did sin, and I took your respite, giving veil for granted. I became audacious in sin, and my misfortune pushed me further into this. I transgressed against you due to my foolishness. Yet, I have hope in your grace that you will accept my repentance. If you do not accept this and have mercy upon me, my sadness will last forever as I am subject to punishment. When the man fell silent, Mansur bin Umama recited the sixth verse of At-Tahrim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. Translation from Kanzul Iman. O you who believe, save yourselves and your families from the fire, whose fuel is humans and stones. Severe, powerful angels are appointed over it. They do not disobey Allah in what He commands them, and they do what they are commanded to do. After reciting this verse, there was a loud scream, a thud, and then complete silence. Mansur bin Umama tended to his need and returned to his place of stay. When he passed by the same place in the morning, he saw people gathered to give condolences and heard sounds of intense crying. A teary old woman was saying, "May Allah not reward my son's killer, who recited a verse describing punishment my son could not bear, causing him to die out of fear of him." Mansur bin Umama rahmatullahi alayhi further mentions, "That night I had a dream in which I saw an individual saying to me, 'I am the same person who heard you recite the sixth verse of At-Tahrim, causing me to die out of fear of Allah.' I asked, 'Ma fa'ala Allahu bika?' How did Allah deal with you?" He replied, "Allah dealt with me in the same way He did with the martyrs of Badr." When I asked him to describe this, he explained, "Allah caused them to be martyred by the swords of disbelievers. He caused me to be martyred with the sword of His love." Ameen bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Help your family better themselves Islamically. Dear Islamic brothers, such is the greatness of those who fear Allah. The verse which caused this God-fearing person to pass away also contains a command to save oneself and one's family from the fire of hell. Each person should perform good deeds, avoid sins, and rectify their family too. The scholar Al-Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayh relates the following statement of Imam Al-Qiyya rahmatullahi alayh. It is compulsory upon us to educate our children and families about Islam, teach them of goodness, and instruct them regarding manners and skills one cannot do without. Teach children about Islam first. The Hanafi jurist Mufti Amjad Ali Azmi rahmatullahi alayhi states, foremost priority is to teach children the Quran and essential matters of Islam. They should be educated about fasting, salah, purification, buying, selling, money related issues, other matters a person deals with daily, and regarding things that cause one to oppose Islamic law if he is unaware of them. If you observe a child has a particular interest in academia and he is mature, what could be greater than steering them towards Islamic knowledge? If one does not have the means, then upon teaching them correct beliefs and essential rulings, you may place them in any permissible field of work. After teaching a female child regarding Islamic beliefs and essential rulings, have a woman instruct her regarding sewing, embroidery, and other skills women commonly use. Also, she should be taught in relation to household matters, as a woman who is skillful can live a much easier life than the one who is not. Teaching children about generosity. Imam Abu Mansur al-Maturidi rahmatullahi alayhi said, it is wajib upon a believer to teach his children about generosity and kindness, just as it is wajib to teach them about Tawheed and faith. Generosity and kindness remove the love of the world, which is the root of every sin. When the childless was given a child, a wealthy individual did not have any children. He tried many things to this end, but was unsuccessful. Someone advised him to go to Makkah, Zadahallahu Sharfan wa Ta'zima, and make dua close to Maqam Ibrahim in Masjid al-Haram. He did this and was granted a beautiful son. The wealthy man began to spoil this child, showering him with excessive love and paying no attention to raising him properly. The boy grew up to become an immoral spendthrift. The father realized this and stopped giving his son allowance, resulting in the latter hating him. This wicked son went to the very place where his father had made dua for him in Masjid al-Haram and began to make dua for his father's death, so he could inherit all his wealth. A good message for those who want children. Dear Islamic brothers, those who complain of having no children should take heed from this story. We should not only ask Allah for children, but we should ask Him to grant us children with well-being, who are a source of ease for us. Let's say the child is born with a disease or disability, delivered via C-section, or leads to the mother losing her life. This is sometimes the case, especially with women giving birth for the first time. Sometimes the child grows up to miss salah, cause harm to their parents, becomes an addict due to bad company, steals things, and becomes a menace in society, or take on misguided beliefs. Mu'adh Allah. Some even become apostates due to disrespecting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam or saying words of disbelief. In other words, a person being born into this world means they will face countless tests in this world and the hereafter. Take note of the following. Hadith encourage us to increase the ummah in size. On the day of judgment, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam will be happy upon the vastness of this ummah and express this happiness in front of other nations. When wishing to have children, one should make good intentions to attain goodness in this world and the hereafter. He who feels anguish due to not having children and makes every effort to have a child should reflect deeply over whether their primary reason is to gain worldly or personal benefit. If his desire for having children has no higher purpose, such as intending betterment in the hereafter, then it is as though he is unwittingly wishing for someone to be born into this world and then be subjected to major tests. These words of mine can perhaps only be understood by those who worry about how they shall die. In summary, the saint Fudayl bin Iyad rahmatullahi alayhi said, "I do not envy even the most righteous of people, as they will witness the terrors of the day of judgment. I only envy the one who is nothing, i.e. who does not exist." The second caliph of Islam, Umar bin al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, once exclaimed out of fear of Allah, "If only my mother had not given birth to me. May Allah have mercy upon them and forgive us without accountability for their sake. Ameen bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam." The terrifying end of a scholarly father. Children can become a blessing for their parents, but sometimes due to not being given a proper Islamic upbringing, they become a major test. This can be understood from the following story narrated by Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi alayh. A scholar from the Bani Israel held gatherings in his home, in which he delivered speeches. One day his son indicated with his eyes towards a beautiful girl, which the scholar saw. He said, "My son, have patience." Saying this, the scholar fell face first from the stage and broke some bones. His wife then suffered a miscarriage whilst his son was killed in battle. Allah sent a revelation to the Prophet of the time, instructing him to inform the scholar that no Siddiq would be born to his lineage. Allah said, "For my sake did he only have enough displeasure to tell his son to simply be patient?" The scholar was not quick to stop his son from this and did not rebuke him enough to ensure he did not indulge in any wrong. The narration also makes mention of a Siddiq, which is the highest rank of sainthood. Alhamdulillah, the crown of the saints, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi, was one of these. From stealing a pencil to death by hanging. Dear Islamic brothers, we should raise our children in such a manner that even in childhood they have love for good and dislike for bad. If this is not done, it could lead to the child becoming corrupt and committing wrongdoings when they grow older. It is said that a thief was once imprisoned and charged with robbery and murder, leading him to be sentenced with death by hanging. When his final moments neared, he was asked regarding his last wish. He said he wanted to meet his mother. As soon as he saw his mother, he began to attack, bite and strike her. Officials managed to save the mother from the merciless son. And when asked about this deplorable action of his, he explained, "It is this mother of mine who made me reach this point. During my childhood, I stole a pencil from another student in school and showed it to her at home. She should have taught me this was bad, but she just smiled. I was young and naive at that time, so I assumed I had done something good. I then began to steal books and more pencils. By the time I had grown up, I had become accustomed to stealing and saw no issue with it. I then began performing robberies, during which I committed murders, leading me to become known as a dangerous person. In the end, police arrested me, and due to the incorrect upbringing of this mother, a rope will be wrapped around my neck very soon. Punishment in the world pales in comparison. Dear Islamic brothers, look at what wrong upbringing can result in. You may rightfully think you are not teaching your children how to be thieves. Yes, it is true parents do not generally instruct their children to steal others' property, but stealing is not the only evil in the world. There are many others, and parents sometimes even teach these to their children. For example, selling something to someone through lying, deception, or not giving the full measure, etc. Is it not a sin to deal in usury-based transactions, advertise substandard products as high-quality ones, prevent your son from growing a beard, or stop your daughter from covering herself correctly? Can such people not be labelled civilised thieves and white-collar criminals in society? Do such people who appear respectable in this world hope to receive honour in the hereafter? By Allah, the punishment those who raise their children upon sin will experience is unimaginably more severe in comparison to the worldly punishment of that robber and the momentary pain experienced by his mother. Al-Aman wal-Hafidh. When a son went to burn his father. Here is a shocking incident regarding the consequences of not giving our children an Islamic upbringing. The following is a summary of a statement given by an Islamic brother from Hyderabad, Pakistan. In 2001, a rich person passed away in our locality. People were gathered in his expensive home when his 19-year-old son, who used to study in a modern school, got up to leave. When asked where he was going, he replied, "My father had great love for me, so I thought I will help him with my own hands for the final time. I am going to get some wood to burn his body." Everybody was stunned to hear this. The deceased was Muslim, and they wondered why the son needed wood to burn his father's body. After some deliberation, they realized the foolish son had probably seen scenes of bodies being burned in the films of non-Muslims and assumed everyone must be burned after they die. He did not even know Muslims are buried, not burned. In any case, the father was buried in the end. When the people from that area came to know of these negative outcomes of watching films, they took heed from this, and many young individuals cut their TV connections. It remained like this for some time, but gradually Satan and the nafs overcame them once again, and they reconnected their TVs. Sarware di lijiye apne natawano ki khabar, nafs o shaitan sayyida kab tak dabate jayenge. Explanation of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan's poetry. In this couplet, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan says, "O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, protect us weak devotees from sin. O our Master, we have been plunged in sin for too long. Satan and the nafs have ensnared us in transgression for an age. An excellent way of protecting yourself from the evil of Satan and the nafs is to pledge allegiance to a qualified sheikh. When the attacks of Satan and the nafs are ineffective against the sheikh, his murids will also be protected by the blessings of this, waiting for reward to be transmitted. Dear Islamic brothers, the above mentioned account contains many lessons for us. We are alive today, but a day will come in which we die. Let's say we only provided our son with worldly education, taught him how to earn money, played music for him, showed him films, did not give him any Islamic education, did not show him the way to the masjid, did not enlighten his heart with love for the Prophet, did not instruct him to grow his beard, and instead encouraged him to adopt the latest fashions. If we do this, then remember, he will neither know how to offer your funeral prayer nor transmit reward to your soul after you die. You will need reward after your death. The final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "The deceased in the grave is like a drowning person. He eagerly waits for the dua of his father, mother, brother, or friend to reach him. When it does, it appears better in his sight than the world and all it contains. The rewards gifted to the deceased by their living relatives is granted by Allah as though they are mountains, whilst the gift of the living is to pray for the forgiveness of the deceased." Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.